There are so many recognizable manufacturers out there, and of course, as a fan and as a leisure professional, I can differ between a Vekoma or a B&M roller coaster. You can see certain ride systems from which manufacturer they might have been, and you know, that what makes us, yeah, as a fan, as an enthusiast, and also as an expert, because of course we need to compare different suppliers and manufacturers due to their different advantages and disadvantages. And this will bring us to our today's guest. But firstly, welcome to How to Freizeitpark Abroad, the business podcast for leisure makers. My name is Stefan Burian. I am a freelance consultant for operations, HR and guest experience for leisure attractions of any size and kind. And I am very honored to have a very special guest in this episode. And I have to prepare you before before you hear the interview, because it was recorded on the last IAPA Euro Expo in Amsterdam. So there might be a little bit of background noise, and the booth was not really closed off, so there might be some points where we misunderstand a little bit, but you will figure it out in the following recording. And my guest is no one other than Antonio Zamperla, the current CEO of Zamperla Rides and Zamperla Coasters, or proper known as Zamperla Group. And of course, if you are working in this industry, you know at least a few attractions. There are so many recognizable things in their own portfolio, but I'm really looking forward to speak to Antonio, because I can understand that there are some critical voices out there figuring out what they are doing and where the company is going, but I see that there is so much potential and such a good space on the market they have conquered with their small footprints, with their very compact rides, and also with their wide and broad portfolio of flat rides. So here we go. This is Antonio Zamperla, recorded on the last IAPA Euro Expo here at... not here, well, it's here because it's just 2 hours away by car, but recorded in the convention center of Amsterdam. Enjoy. When I think about Zamperla, there are like two things popping up immediately in my mind. It's the Rockin' Tug and it's Volare, because I have been on Volare, I think it's might be 15 years ago in Vienna on the Prater, and Rockin' Tug is like a product which see you in kind of every theme park nowadays. So Zamperla, a great company with some remarkable products. Disco Coaster, whoop, just there's another one. Mm-hmm. And I'm here today with the CEO of Zamperla Group, and it's Antonio Zamperla.
Yes, I'm the third generation of the family, started by my grandfather Antonio, mm-hmm. and then my father pushed the commercial side and opened the different branch around the world, and then it's me and my brother. I'm managing the whole manufacturing side, and my brother is managing the whole amusement park side. Mm. So Luna Park and the family entertainment center that we have in Bologna, Italy.
That's the farm park.
Right? Luna Farm. Exactly.
Luna Farm, exactly. Exactly. We come to that later, yes. But let's go back into the history. When your company was founded, what was the founding moment? What kind of product did you start?
So it was a portable go-kart.
Go-karts?
Oh, yes. we're talking at this point, in 2026, we're turning 60 years old.
Yeah.
Officially 60, meaning that my grandfather started way before. So he started with a colleague of him in a small town called Vidore in the north part of Italy. And these guys had the vision to have a portable go-kart for Schausteller, for carnivals and showmen. And my grandfather was a doer, was a builder. So he had the inventive and the know-how in order to bring things together and make it happen. And so he started with that. And then looking at the products, he understood also that there was a lack in the market. So we started with the mini bumper scooter, mini bumper car, basically. And also the bumper car for adults, so that we could bring basically the whole family together. And thanks to this, it kept on, producing and kept on looking at new ideas. And that's always something that we kept very close to our company. We want to be innovators and we need to be innovators. Mm-hmm. So we keep on pushing the innovation with new products almost every year. Because we do believe that there is space for everyone inside this industry, but needs to be innovated.
Yeah.
You cannot keep, the horse carousel, the merry-go-round is still a hit after more than 100 years.
Yeah.
But you cannot have an amusement park only of merry-go-round. So that's where we do believe that innovation comes into play, because that's something that we give and we provide the memory, a long-lasting memory to people through amusement rides.
Awesome. And one thing I seem to hear between the lines is that you are also keeping the tradition within your attractions.
Absolutely, yes.
But you don't have any bumper cars in your portfolio?
Yes, we do.
Oh, you do? So
yes,
you still
absolutely,
you have your roots still with
yes,
you?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
But when we look at today, when we make a huge jump forward, we are now in 2024, and Zampella is basically everywhere, from smaller kiddie rides to huge roller coasters up to other refurbishment projects. So
yes.
You're like basically,
and also through Disney and Universal project.
Yes.
We are one of the biggest manufacturers for Disney parks.
It's crazy to say that, isn't it?
Well, you know, that's a part of the investment. That's where we come into play. In the last 30 years, we produced more than 35 rides for Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And we are one of the biggest manufacturers at this point for Disney. Of course, I mean, we're talking about the flat ride as per now. But still, I mean, we are mostly their go-to. Whenever there's something, and with Universal we have a great relationship as well. But this is where it comes into play the different type of mix of product that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We are really able to provide basically any kind of product to any kind of customer anywhere in the world.
Yeah,
with branches in China, in the Philippines, in the Far East, in Dubai, in Eastern Europe, in Italy. In the US, we are basically present in the market. We have locals in the market. So let's say that we're not just global, but we are local ourselves.
Yeah.
And thanks to this, we are closer to our customer, to our partners at this point, because we create partnership. We never let the customer down.
Mm.
And if there's an issue, we solve the issue. So going back to the product, yes, we are able to provide a full amusement park with all the rides that we have. And that's also has been always part of the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be considered a full service provider and a one-stop shop for mm-hmm. our customers.
Yeah. It's incredible to hear that. And when I was doing a little bit research of what kinds of products you had and what kind of roller coasters you have opened, that of course Disney came up to it, or like at the Universal Studios in Singapore with your multi-dimensional coaster, which I believe nobody knows that it's from your side. There are so many different products, but what, and I know it's a stupid question, but what is the success? why do people come back? I mean, you say you are a full service provider, but what is the huge benefit they have?
So we invested a lot also on service and after sales. The solution that we try to implement in with our rides consider the total cost of ownership. So basically lowering the cost after you bought the ride.
Yeah.
So it's not just a matter of price of the ride, but it's a matter of how much it costs the ride to be operated. And let's remember, those machines stay in an amusement park for 30/40 years.
Yeah.
So let me say you buy the ride once, and then you can have a debt for the next 30 to 40 years to operate the ride. So that comes in mind whenever we engineer a ride and whenever we produce a ride. Plus, with the after sales that we have more than 45 people around the world just dedicated to after sales and spare parts. We have more than 9,000 rides in the market as per now. We produce more than 150 rides every single year.
Yeah.
So thanks to this, I mean, the know-how that we have internally, it's pretty vast, I would say. But also the coverage and the fact that our customer knows that we are there for them. Mm-hmm. Everywhere in the world, mostly localized with the language as well and the mentality as well, which is very important.
Exactly, especially when you talk about Asia or the Middle East, you can't jump in as a European and say hello.
Exactly, because we are not. I mean, we are similar, but we are not all the same.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not equal. We have the same rights, but we are totally different. But at least we smile on the same way.
Wow,
that's how basically the rides, I do believe, are able to connect people and create memories. Because everyone enjoys, basically, and smile in the same way.
Yeah. And what I can underline is the after-sales part you mentioned. Because I was working, when I was working for different companies, also with some rides of yours, and we operated them. And I felt always that there was somebody to support us, which is always a crucial part, because we will have many questions when we build it, when we maintain it, when we have staff operating the rides. And what I would like to ask you, and I hope it's not offensive, but there are some critiques from fans when they say, oh, it's another Zamperla ride. Why is there so much critique? I mean, they see just the outside. They don't see the whole process behind it and what an operator also has to implement in a park when such a ride comes. Do you have heard those critiques before?
Oh, yes. Yeah? Come on. Absolutely, yes. Those are actually a good fuel in order to keep on innovating and actually to keep pushing. I mean, all the critics are... Even bad or good are good, just because, I mean, you can always take something from that and trying to understand. I do believe that we are in an industry that is really a niche. Most of the people outside that goes to amusement park do not know what an amusement park is. If you think about it, and if you try to ask to someone which kind of ride should be inside an amusement park. Mm-hmm. They would not know, but they would go to the amusement park, not researching mostly the rides that are inside the amusement park, but they just want to be entertained. They just want to be moved from point A to point B in a different way. So really experience something different.
Yeah.
And I do believe that we give this kind of experience. We are able to give this kind of experience mixed with a high level of theming and reliability for the operators. Mm-hmm. So let's say that the general public, it's pretty satisfied usually with what we give, because we are able to fulfill their desire to be entertained inside an amusement park.
Yeah.
And the operator as well on the other side is able to have the, it's able to fulfill their needs of total cost of ownership, of operation, and stability also over the years.
Yeah.
So those critics, well, yes, exist. But usually, let's say the positive vibes are not heard or are not the one that are expressed.
Yeah.
So I really take in consideration all the critics that comes to towards the company, because that are helpful to improve and to get better.
And getting better means also developing new products or developing a product that you have into the next level. So when I think back when the disco was announced, then suddenly the disco coaster came. And in my eyes, it's a really big thing, because so many theme parks now own such a thing. And you can see such a huge variety of how you can implement such a ride in your theme park. When you compare it, I don't know, to a movie park, which is basically very generally themed, or you go to Plopsa where they have hugely themed rock work and grass and stuff, or Park Asterix with special effects. How does it feel to see such a ride developing and then seeing being placed in such a huge manner?
Oh, it's you're giving me goosebumps just by mentioning those projects. I mean, it's something that, you know, even when they are in the factory and we test it in the factory, it's kind of a pity for us to ship it, because they are, it comes out such a beautiful project with those partnerships.
Yeah.
That believes in what we can do together, that really give me goosebumps and I'm so humbled to be able to work with them and to be there and see that thanks to this, we give emotion and memories to people. Those are the kind of relationship and those are the kind of partnership that we built and we create. You mentioned the disco. Well, the disco and the disco coaster comes actually from the Rocking Tag. So what we do usually, it's really to try at how the person feels and is giving an emotion inside the ride. And then we go back and we drive it with the technology and we understand which kind of technology we want to get into. So we don't start with the technology, with the engineering, but we start with the emotion and then we go back. So on the disco, that is a further development of the Rocking Tag, because the movement is the same. And we introduced that as patenting also, that the movement and everything else. What happened is that on the disco, we wanted to have everyone basically on the front row and giving to everyone the same kind of feeling of being on the front row.
Yeah.
Which, of course, I mean, it's not easy and it's not doable in other rides. And thanks to this, really, giving that kind of feeling of being almost out of the ride on the track. And that was the starting point. How to give them, again, something different, something that could be for the whole family, mm-hmm. especially.
Yeah.
Because most of our rides are for the whole family. Because that's what, basically, it's a park about. It's not just about thrill emotion. It's not just about, big rides and stuff like this. But it's about building memories and building emotion.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of things that can unite a full family that goes from 12 years old to almost to a grandparents.
Yeah. Is that the reason also why you are, when we look on the roller coaster side of your manufacturing, that you are mainly focused more on family roller coasters than like thrill roller coasters? I mean, there are some few you build, but they are quite less compared to your family rides.
Yeah, well, we entered the thrill coaster fairly late compared to the rest of the market, only in 2014 with our first Thunderbolt in Coney Island. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was really the first thrill. The other one, even the Volare that you were mentioning, well, that's that's a development of, at this point, 20 plus years ago, probably. Yeah. I do believe that it's more than 20 years. And of course, I mean, it was a development that has many constraints. We had fixed position, mm-hmm. and so we needed to basically tuck everything and to give something different, because this is what we were asked. And because of that, of course, I mean, came out the Volare that you were mentioning before. Now, that was a step, though. That was a step, and I do believe that we really built from those steps, understanding what we needed to improve and what we needed to change as well. So all the things that we have done helped us really to get the company in a better position, in a position where it is right now.
And when we talk about new developments and new projects, of course, Cedar Point is something that can be mentioned, I hope.
Absolutely, yes.
But there's a delay after the opening.
Yes.
Simple question, what's going on?
Well, it's I don't believe that is strange in the industry.
Yeah.
That things are delayed or actually needs further adjustment. We opened the ride. I tested it personally. It was fantastic. I mean, it is fantastic. It's it's really an incredible sensation. Then after some analysis and stuff, we decided actually to improve the ride and to basically redesign part of the components, mm-hmm. that will be open then in 2025.
Okay. And how does it feel to be part of such a project? I mean, it's not from the ground on your project, but you are able to fix something that has been a landmark in this park for so many years?
No, it's been a great privilege to, first of all, to work with Cedar Point and with Cedar Fair, but also the fact of having a challenge like that.
Yeah.
I mean, building a coaster from ground up, let me say, it's a little easier than go and you know, and re-engineering something.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like building a house or structuring a house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can actually, you know, engineer
somebody,
and do
somebody
whatever.
Somebody took the walls off now and you are the guy to fix
so,
the walls.
So basically we took the challenge. We were up to the challenge, absolutely. And because we have all the capabilities in-house to actually get those kind of challenge.
Mm.
We've done the same also with P&E, with the former Molfetta coaster, the former coaster that was in Molfetta, and we installed in P&E in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
So really taking another ride and kind of, let's call it refurbishing, but I would like to say re-engineer
mm-hmm.
part of the ride
yeah.
in order to get it to the latest standard and the latest expectation.
Yeah.
So that, to me, it's a proof of what we can do and that we can actually have a say in the coaster manufacturing world.
Yeah. And talking about the things you do and the privilege and also the product portfolio you mentioned, that you can basically build a complete theme park with all your products. That's what you did in Bologna with the Luna Farm, right? Is this a concept that came out of your idea that you say we want to have a proof of concept, which is just a Zampella theme park?
So let me say that that's the second phase, basically, of the amusement park managing. So we manage Luna Park in Coney Island. And that has, let's say, standard and bigger rides.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to showcase and have a showcase also of the capabilities that we have on theming and accessibility. So Luna Farm is heavily themed as a farm, and it's fully accessible as well.
Mm-hmm.
And more than that, it's not far from our home factory. So thanks to this, we have the capabilities to have a showroom that is also, I would say, almost next door.
Yeah.
Really giving the sense of the type of theming that we are able to do. So it was a complement, basically, of Luna Park in Coney Island. So it was an expansion, but also a complement of our show, let's say, of our showroom.
Yeah. And how does the connection to New York come? I mean, you have the Luna Park, which is has been a project of you, and I remember there was like a picture of you in the U.S. media that you have been on Wall Street ringing the bell.
Yes,
that was true, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a marketing opportunity. That was great. I mean, it was a great marketing opportunity that they gave us, opening basically the closing
market.
The market.
Yeah.
In Wall Street before the 4th of July weekend. So that was an amazing, absolutely, it was insane. I can tell you, I mean, there were so many people around and in Times Square, and our pictures were there. So it was an amazing opportunity. It was a good achievement, especially because the city of New York recognized Luna Park as being almost an extension and something that New Yorkers actually go as a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been really honored to manage the park, and my brother especially, I mean, to manage the park in this way. I mean, we're talking about a small Italian company
yeah.
that is taking over basically one of the most iconic places of our industry.
But how does this step come to you? I mean, do you have a special connection to New York? Do you have a connection to the park?
Well, we are in the U.S. I mean, we have a company in the U.S. The manufacturing company in the U.S. has been established there almost 45 years ago. So we always had a foot, let's say, in the U.S., a fairly large presence in the U.S. I mean, we are around 30 person in the U.S.
Yeah.
So it's just sales and after sales and spare parts. Luna Park and especially New York at this point has always been in, let's say, in our heart. I mean, it's next door from the manufacturing office that we have. And we saw some opportunities back on the days. I mean, the first opportunity was the Wallman Rink in Victorian Garden. The Wallman Rink in Central Park is a small skating rink right next door from Fifth Avenue. And we started managing that in 2002, 2003. So that was the first step, basically, into the operation, and also into how New York works with parks and amusement rides. Then back in 2009, there has been issued a request for proposal from the mayor of New York, from the former mayor of New York, Michael Bloomberg, that we answered to, and we were able to prove that we would have been able to open an amusement park in 100 days, because we had only 100 days to open that park. And when I'm saying to open, means to basically do all the infrastructure, ship the rides, install the rides, train the operators, and then open with the ticketing system, with everything from scratch.
Wow.
So that was really something major. And this kind of stuff actually helped us in order to be, again, operator on one side and manufacturer on the other side. So understand better what our partners want and what our partners need as well. Yeah. So that's why he was mentioning the total cost of ownership. So understanding that, again, the cost of the ride is not just the purchasing of the ride, but actually every single day, every single year, there are expenses related to the ride. And this is where we want to have a say, because we know what's going on.
Yeah.
So we do understand our customer, because we are operator as well.
Yeah. I think that's what differs so many different companies and manufacturers in this industry, that not all of them are on the daily business side. They manufacture, they deliver, they maintain. That's fine. But I believe that there are so many factors outside, and it's not like being mean to them, but I think it would be helpful to more manufacturers to see really what's going on a daily basis.
Absolutely, because what I can tell is that has been really a huge change for the company. Mm-hmm. Before, we were supposed to know about amusement rides, because we were building amusement rides,
yeah,
but we were not maintaining amusement rides. We were not operating amusement rides. So that kind of feedback was a difficult feedback, because, of course, I mean, the mentality, mm-hmm, it's a human mentality. I mean, you are building that and you think that you know basically everything,
yeah,
but you're not on the other side. So starting being also operator helped us on closing the bridge and applying some bridge between the manufacturer and the operator, so that we can give feedback from the operation side to the manufacturer. And thanks to this, get better product and really achieve a better results in terms of maintenance, in terms of capacity, in terms of restraint, in terms of even what the people want, of
yeah,
course.
When you think about your operating experience now from Luna Farm and Coney Island, is there like a huge learning you say, oh, that was a big thing, I learned a lot from this moment or this specific doing?
Well, one of the things that I learned the most is that we cannot, I mean, there's no technology yet that can substitute the feeling and the memories and the emotion that are created in an amusement park. There is no internet, no video games, nothing, because people want to connect and want to have fun, wants to see, want to have basically the next person smiling and smiling with them too. Yeah. And so giving them memory. So that's what actually gave me so much. I started operating Minitalia Lolandia back on the days from 2007 to 2010. Mm-hmm. We were owner and operator also of Minitalia Lolandia in Italy. And I was there. I was living inside the park. There was a small office. There was a small apartment on top of the main building, on top of the offices, and I was actually living there.
Okay.
So for 3 years, I lived inside an amusement park, and that really helped me understanding more and more what people want, mm-hmm, and what is our mission.
Yeah.
So our mission, as you can see here, is creating lasting memories of amusement all over the world, and this is what we do believe.
Yeah.
We are not able to change the world, but we can give a smile, we can give something nice to the people through our partners. So
yeah,
this is really what I learned basically on being an operator, that we touch people's lives. We don't change it, but at least we touch it through our, you know, through in this case, I mean, through the rides, but also, I mean, thanks to the operator, to everything that is around an amusement park.
Yeah.
It's It's the it's the feeling of the industry. It's is really that, and I know that I'm
difficult to describe.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. And it's, and but I do believe that everyone that is in this in this industry, it's like this. I mean, I'm so lucky because I keep going. I mean, as a job, I need to go to amusement park and see people smiling on my ride.
Yeah.
And knowing that they are smiling because they are having a good time, because they are creating memory, they're going to bring back home. They're not going to remember my name. It's fine, but they're going to remember something. And this is something that I know. And a roughly calculation, we put on our rides, on Zambrello rides, 1 billion people a year. So basically, I tend to think that we touch at least 1 billion people a year, and we give a smile to 1 billion people a year. So we are creator of memories for 1 billion people a year, which that's
well, there are worse jobs on the planet. So
trust me,
we've done them all.
I would never change what I'm doing for nothing. Yeah, absolutely,
I assume that, and it's nice to hear also from some manufacturers sometimes that they share this feeling, because that's what was my motivation to go in this industry. I mean, I'm a theme park fan from small on. I basically lived during the summer vacations in a theme park close to my place. And then when I was 18, I started my very first job there at the Warner Brothers Movie World, or nowadays Movie Park Germany. And since then, I'm in this industry. I've seen the world. I've seen people, cultures. I spoke to faces and heard stories like yours today, and it's so great to hear that this also is not an engineering thing, you know, because engineering is like facts and figures, but there's also the emotional part.
Absolutely.
In it. It's to hear that.
No, come on, it's at the core business.
Yeah.
All the people that works for us, I'm lucky because I have amazing people around me, but it's because they put their heart on what they do. And again, as I said before, when I'm saying that we enlarge the service, is because we, if we want to put it to nuts and bolts, basically, we produce a machine that needs to produce X amount of smiles per hour.
Yeah.
But those are smiles, are not tuna can.
Yeah.
Are not boxes. Our smiles per hour.
Yeah.
So that's also what drives also the people that work with me. And in order to make them understand even better, what we do is an open day for San Antonio Feast in June. So we build a small amusement park in our factory, and we invite all the family. Yeah. And so even if you work in the administration department, even if you work in purchase, even if you are anywhere inside the company, you're able to show your family that the part of the work that you do is actually instrumental in order to have the ride up and to have their kids at this point having a smile. Because thanks to what they do, they have their kids that smile. And so this is something that all the people that are working in the Zampella Group knows and can touch directly.
Yeah.
That their work actually touched people's life.
Yeah. Yeah, as I said, there are worse jobs, and I wouldn't trade for a nickel. When we look now, we had the past, the present, of course, this look into the future. You touched the area of thrill rides, but you're still going more on family rides. But what is coming into the future? Are you going this path? Will you continue this path, or will you have new developments and try something new at some point?
No, well, of course, I mean, the coaster, I mean, we started investing more than 10 years ago into a different type of coaster department. As you were mentioning, I mean, we have always done a roller coaster, mostly kid and family. But more than 10 years ago, we started structuring ourselves in order to go on the big coasters and the most thrilling coasters. You have on your back the Double Heart. We're going to have a Double Heart coming. Start delivering on July next year. So it's going to be. This is where we're going. We are going with new processes, new procedures, new materials. We want to be at the forefront of innovation, not just about new rides and new ride system, but also about new things that we're bringing into the industry. Mm-hmm. So the vision in the next 10 years is really to be considered, if not the biggest, of course, I mean, that's the vision.
Sure.
And this is where, this is how I'm pushing this with my, all my people.
Yeah.
If not the biggest, among the biggest.
Yeah.
Still maintaining the core value though. Still being considered not only a coaster manufacturer at that point, but also still a ride manufacturer. So really kind of the supplier where you can find any kind of product.
And how huge of a part is digitization with your rides, with your technical parts, with your systems you have? Is this a thing where you say, okay, there can be more improvements, there can be more data be shared with the operators?
We're working a lot on that. We're working a lot, especially on the after sales, in order to go not in on preventive maintenance, but in predictive maintenance.
Yeah.
So we have a program that we've developed and has been already deployed that is collecting data and stuff like this from the 9,000 rides that we have outside. I mean, we are really starting with some hundreds of rides in order to get back data and be able to provide a different type of service in order to achieve the all, almost the 100% availability of the ride.
Yeah.
So that's the part of digitalization that we are pushing for. Of course, I mean, back on the days we used and we developed also the some VR systems, stuff like this, but we left completely the that kind of realm. And on digitalization, we're still focusing, and we kept on focusing basically on the on moving rides with mechanics and and steel, so to speak. So we do not we're not developing anything that that is related so much into digitalization of the entertainment per se.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I was also talking about the operational point of view, not like having VR or AR. You can just walk around the corner here at the trade floor and you will see thousands of VR glasses throwing around. I think that's not, I believe it's not the future. I also believe, as you said, that it's the physical part of the entertainment, the engineering part. But I do believe that there's, especially for park operators, there's so much data going lost, especially when we talk about maintenance or even dispatching a ride that could be enhanced by smaller and fine-tuned digital processes. So we can really see like queuing times, dispatching times, etc., which gives feedback to the park and to the operators. And right now there are, how do you say, solutions you need to buy from another company, implement, but they are usually not compatible or they're delivering not the right data. So that was the reason why I asked this question.
No, exactly. This is where this is basically where we're going. Thanks to the fact that, again, I mean, with a portfolio like this and delivering more than 150 rides per year, we are technically one of the biggest, if not the biggest, probably supplier in the world. And with the number of rides that we have out, the possibility to collect data and create data lake where we can analyze those data, it's a little easier, so to speak, compared to other. We keep on looking at other market, so we do not look only at our market and what our the other suppliers are doing, but really looking at other markets and understanding if there's there are some ideas that we can bring back to the company. That's that's the innovation that we were talking about. That's the push forward.
And pushing forward, when we are looking back again, one stupid final question at the end. When you look at your own portfolio, what ride is the ride that you are excited the most about?
It's always the last one. It's always the latest one. Especially because the latest one would be and should be the one with more technology or the one that has not been thought yet. But I would say that, it's, you know, I mean, just on the recent year, just the Nebulas is something that is mesmerizing. And if you're familiar with that, the incredible part is that I'm not even able to, I mean, since it's going to be just vocal, I'm not going to be able to make you understand what an ambulance is.
Yeah.
If you don't see the video, if you don't see it, and if you don't experience it yourself, it's going to be almost impossible to describe it. But that goes also with the air race.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of rides that are really hard to describe. So that's why I'm saying that the latest one, because it's the one that where we, of course, I mean, we applied all the know-how, all the 60 years of know-how and knowledge, to move people in a different way from what's already out there.
Yeah.
So that's why it would be the one that is more that I would be more keen to.
Awesome. Antonio, thank you so much for your time.
Please, thank you.
I wish you all the best. And I believe that we will see at San Pella, right, probably opening around soon on somewhere around
yes.
us.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you.
What an inspiring and really emotional interview. I really enjoyed talking to Antonio, and I have to admit that afterwards we talked about 15-20 minutes further and had some nice exchanges and shared our opinions on different aspects of the industry. And what he already mentioned in this interview is that we are all on the same boat. We are all on the same page when we talk about creating experiences for young and old. So there's not a big competition on the usual definition of competition. But the thing is that if one really fucks up, you know, then the whole industry is struggling. As you can see with accidents that happened in the past. But anyways, it is nice to hear from such a big supplier and manufacturer that he's still passionate about what he's doing, and also that he's has this vision about creating emotional experiences with rides, even if they are for smaller kids or small children, or even with a huge impact on inclusion when we look to Luna Farm in Bologna, Italia. So that's it. Thank you for listening. That was How to Freizeitpark, the business podcast for leisure makers. And if you have further questions or further feedback to this episode, or you want to find out more about myself, just hop into the show notes. Links are in the description. So that's it. That's a wrap. Thanks for listening and have a fantastic time.